Welcome, my name is Ricardo Souza and this is my podcast on craft beer. And this will be a very special episode recorded in English because today I have a special guest with me. Uma pequena nota em português. Este episódio vai ser carregado no YouTube, onde, caso tenhas dificuldades com o inglês, podes sempre acionar as legendas automáticas. Vou deixar aí um link para o meu canal nas notas do episódio. If you've been to Caminha, you may have noticed some very joyful and party people on the Hungarian Mad Scientist booth. One of them is my guest today, Martin Cepcik. I'm not sure if this is the way to pronounce it, but we'll leave that to him. I hope you like this conversation with Martin, and if you are new to this channel, please subscribe. I'm sure I'll have the chance to talk to other international craft beer market players in the near future. Enjoy!
Martin Cepcik, not an easy name in other parts of Europe, but you know.
Cepcik.
Yes.
Cepcik is okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, Martin, thank you very much. First of all, it is my pleasure to finally, after I think 2 or 3 years, first time we spoke in Caminha about this podcast interview, finally we did it.
Yes.
So thank you very much for accepting my invitation. I already made a small introduction to this podcast, so I will include it in the conversation. So let's start with the first thing. First things first, is Mad Scientist going to take over the world?
No. Mad Scientist is not going to take over the world. I realized I didn't open up my beer. It feels so strange. All right, so now we're officially started. So Mad Scientist is not going to be the next big thing. Mad Scientist is bound to be the next small thing. I have so much crazy respect for brands like Michelar or BrewDog. You will not hear me talking bad stuff about brands like them, not even in private conversations. Because without these wonderful companies, people like me, I couldn't have a full-time job working with craft. Although this doesn't mean I necessarily agree with everyone's decisions. So we don't want to be following their lead. We just want to do us. We just want to do ourselves. And we feel comfortable being small. We don't want to be there everywhere at all.
Is being small like an advantage to you?
Oh,
that
of
you,
course.
You can be free to take a chance, don't worry. The cat
is here. So like being, I believe being small is beautiful. It gives us the flexibility to do whatever we want to do. I understand that some breweries are bound to be there at all the supermarkets and all the big chains and stores, and it's all good. That still can be part of your success game. But I want to be the festival brewery. I want to be the bottle shop brewery, the pub brewery, you know, like the brewery not everybody talks about, but the brewery you may have tried, you know, you may have met me or some of my wonderful colleagues, and you know, maybe we find a common ground and we can just talk about stuff and have a good time. So I want people to think of us this way, like something fun and something exciting and something experimental and dangerous. You know, I don't expect you to like everything what we do. And this is the key, I believe, to us, that we don't need to fit into everybody's pockets. You know, if you're a big brand, you need to fit into so many pockets, and that's all good. You know,
you lose freedom.
I understand it, but you know, we communicate the way we want to communicate, and we like our freedom. And yeah, it's to me, it's more exciting to be this adventurous and not being, you know, really really corporate.
Can you give us a background on how things started with Mad Scientist?
My Sunday started in 2016 when three of my really good friends and closest colleagues, they felt like that's their chance right now to finally start a brewery. They've been in their late 20s. They've been expecting kids. And they were like, okay, 2016 is finally the year when we can follow our long time dream, because you know, the more and more time passes, there's less and less space for love projects to start. And I believe in Hungary, until 2017 or 2018, there was the time for some of the most well-established brands to start. After that, you just needed so much help from private investors, from banks, from third parties, that you're just losing your edge, you're just losing your freedom. So these guys, they just wanted to do whatever they wanted to do. And I've been really close to them for a long time, but by that time I was living abroad with my wife, Vivian. You know her from Kaminia.
Yes.
Right now she's also working for Mad Scientist. So of course, fast forward to 2018, they've been doing their thing and they've been creating amazing things, and we stayed close. And when we moved back to do the first Budapest Beer Week in 2018, we didn't go back to abroad. We just stayed in Budapest, the city I was born and raised. And ever since then, we're pushing this dream together. And yeah, it's a great ride. We celebrated our 7th birthday 3 months ago, and I still cannot believe it, how fast things are happening.
Yeah, but how strong is the market, the craft beer market in Hungary? Is it strong enough to absorb all your beer? Do you have an export strategy?
It's strong enough to bring Antonio from Lupum here to Budapest. But jokes apart, it's a small, but it's a really living scene, and it's a great thing to work with beer, with craft beer these days in Budapest. A few years ago, it was difficult to find craft beer almost anywhere. I'm talking about, you know, like 10 years ago, 12. No. And these days you walk into any pub or any store in Budapest, and I can guarantee that there's a high chance you will find quality craft beer. Not just crap, but quality craft almost everywhere.
Do you have a number regarding the estimated percentages of craft beer sold in Hungary?
I've heard that in 2023, they think this percentage is around 3.2%. Okay. I believe this is a bit overestimated, but because I haven't seen this data being an independent data confirmed from several sources, I would say it's less than 3, but more than 2. So let's say 2.5. So it's still not bad. Of course, we will need some time to reach the American 12 or 13 percent, but we're on a really good way. And while Hungary is considered to be a wine country, like traditionally a wine country, I believe with Mad Scientist, with the Budapest Beer Week, with all the other breweries, we're making Budapest a beer city.
Yeah, definitely. Regarding the indoor and the outdoor or export strategy, do you make different beer for your local market? Do you have a different strategy?
Let me tell you, like, the strategy is that we just want to do great things. And I know this is sound like bullshit, so I will explain what I mean. Since we're small and we're independent, we are not forced to be everywhere, as I told you. And we are trying to create bold and creative beers, but beers not that are crazy or experimental, just to be crazy or experimental, but beers that are highly drinkable. Our thumb rule is, like, no matter how crazy the beer it is, it should also and always be highly drinkable.
Yeah.
And we export to 20, 25 countries these days, more or less on a regular basis. And with this, fresh, small shipments, but fresh shipments to almost all of these countries, this enables us to do whatever we want to do because we don't need to fulfill the expectations, the needs of a certain market. So if we create a mead with grapes, with the living vine must, and let's say the Hungarian market says that it's not a good release and everybody hates it, we can say that, okay, you know, no hard feelings. I can still sell it to Italy. I can still sell it to France. And Portugal, of course. So, you know, and if, you know, our main export market, like Denmark or the Netherlands, says that, hey, Martin, I'm not sure if I can sell your bestseller Mango Bay, then it's all good because we have a nice market in Hungary for that. We have a nice market in Slovakia for that. So it's all good, you know, no hard feelings. We offer a great variety of beers we just try to do our thing. We try to create the best sellers of the future and not try to go after the market, like becoming a new England IPA factory or you know, a smoothie sour factory. Wonderful style. All good.
But do you have a rough idea about how much of your beer is consumed or sold locally and how much is sold out outside Hungary?
60% of the beers we sell that in Hungary.
Okay,
and
that's good.
40% goes to export.
And still you have a lot to grow in terms of potential inside the country.
Of course, we always have potential. Like, here's the thing. So when we celebrated our 7th birthday, we released 7 new beers on 7 days. We had events all across the city and outside of Hungary and in Hungary. And I was thinking that how crazy is that? That I'll be going back to Kamiňa this year for the 4th time.
Yeah. Amazing, yes.
And there are crabby pubs on the countryside I've never been to in Hungary. So I had the idea that, yes, on our birthday, let's do a tap takeover at all the countryside crabby bars of Hungary. And it was really weird.
Well, that's crazy.
Because it was really weird because these crabby bars are nice and amazing and they have a great community built around them, but they have no idea about, you know, what a tap takeover is or how they can imagine this event. So everybody was a bit, you know, like giving me the smiles, like, hey, Martin, like, what do you want to do here? Like, why do you break yourself? You know,
yeah, that's crazy. What do you want to do?
Why don't you, you know, go to Eindhoven, or why don't you go to Copenhagen or Bratislava to do a tap takeover? Why do you want to go to the countryside? And my idea was to prove it that, you know, we still proud to be a Hungarian brewery and the countryside is really important for us. And I will not be selling large quantities there, but I know that we made people happy with these events. And in the end of the day, I mean, we all know people working in the craft beer industry, and when we all know that they are not in it for the money. No.
Yeah, I understand.
Beer is giving you the superpower that that it can make people happy. And of course, it's not going to save the world. It's not going to make the world a much better place. It will just make the world a little bit of better place. And I mean, I double dare you to name any other superpower that is giving you this. I mean, you can be a doctor, of course, or, you know, you can be a billionaire. So you can cure people or give away your money. And of course, that will make people happy. But healthy people and rich people, they would spend it all, you know, on beer anyway. So yeah, I mean, I don't think that, you know, we're saving the world in the name of the holy craft beer. I'm just saying that if we have this superpower, we should use it for good. And I know that we made people happy on the countryside, and it meant a lot to me because I got back so much positive feedback. So I'm sure that next year we'll do.
That's very good. That's very good. But now I'm curious, Mark. How many people work at Mad Scientist? Because that seems like a daunting thing to do. It was not easy, I'm sure.
No, it's not. It's always ever changing. But we right now we have 16 people working for us. So we're not a huge brewery, but we're not a small brewery.
Okay,
Most
not
of
a
the
small
guys,
one. Yeah.
most of the guys, they are working in the production. So this is the first year when we hired our first salesperson. We hired Martin. He has the same name as I do. We hired Martin 2 months ago, and we traditionally have a small office team and a large production team because we do barrel aged stuff, we do meads, we do alternative fermentation.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work around the clock, but what I'm really proud of that that we have a really great team. We have wonderful individuals working there. It's always really inspiring that you know everybody has your back, and although you know especially in Portugal, you know most of the guys know me or Vivian, but Mad Scientist is a team effort. It's not just an effort for two people. It's a team effort. And during COVID, you know, back in 2020 March, we'd be really proud that we didn't have to fire anybody. We got zero help from the state with the salaries, with the jobs, but we kept everybody on the payroll and nobody was fired for financial reasons. And I'm really proud of that.
That must have been difficult for sure. You talked about your other projects before I go there, because that's very interesting, especially because you only have, well, only 16 people to handle three different brands. Because I just look into Untappd. I'm not sure if you use that that tool that much in Hungary. Is that important? Is an important tool for you?
Of course.
That's a very strong
for
debate.
Me,
There's a very strong
for
debate
me,
in Portugal about that.
I know, everywhere, because Untappd is going down. I'm the guy who's managing the breweries Untappd, because I can take criticism, and I don't want to, you know, if we get a 0.01 on our most precious barrel project, my first idea is not to drive up to that person's house. we actually started this YouTube series where our brewers and us, we read the really bad Untappd ratings. You can
okay,
find
that's
a few.
Nice.
You can find a few episodes with English subtitles. It's I believe it's funny, but we stopped doing that because then we started to receive some bad ratings because people just they're like, no, I really like the beer. I just want to be in the video. So it got a bit.
There's no
a bit,
bad publicity, right?
It got a bit out of hand. And then, like, people thought that we're passive aggressive, and I'm happy to defend ourselves that it's not passive aggressive. We just need this pressure release, and we just need to have a good laugh. But it was So not everybody was really happy for that. So it's you know, again, we're trying to lift other people up, and if we receive the feedback that you know. Some people think that we drag others down, and you know, it makes me think. I'm, you know, we always think a lot about stuff. That's what we do. I believe that's the essence of Mad Scientist. That we work a lot and we think a lot, because you can always, you know, steal a recipe or copy a label.
Yeah,
or
sure, sure,
give,
sure.
Give
sure.
one of our brewers more money, but there's one thing I can guarantee that you can never take from us. And that's working 7 days a week and like sweating our balls off to make sure we create, you know, the next your next favorite beer. And that's something, you know, you can never copy. Hard work. That's our credo. That's the thing we believe.
For sure. But even though you take some bad critics on Untappd, there's one truth that I have to talk about, that you have three different brands on the top. Let me check my notes. On the top 15 companies in Hungary on Untappd, you have three different.
Yes. Yes.
Tell us a bit more about those side. I'm not sure if they are side projects or if they are
complementary
projects or.
It's just sub brands, so people have a better understanding of what we do. So on the third place of the Hungarian Untappd, after the always wonderful and amazing New England IPA Create to Brew Your Mind, and young, super young guy, Botton, creating his new sours. So on the third place, we have Medex, our alternative souring facility. We always bring a few bottles to Portugal as well.
Yeah, I have had the pleasure to drink some.
And even this year, I will have some kegs and some bottles.
Okay, that's nice.
With me, so we can drink behind backstage.
Okay, that's good.
So we started the project in 2018. We filled a separate room next to the brewery with Hungarian white wine barrels and red wine barrels and champagne filters. And we use our own culture. I'm not calling it it culture yet officially. We still need a few more years to have the privilege to call it.
Okay,
that
that's nice. That's nice.
But it's a mix of pedo, lacto, and Brett, and it's wonderful. And we work with mostly local ingredients from the farm to the table, from organic growers and everything. So,
so you're doing that. Everything is done at Mad Scientist facility right now.
Everything is doing at Mad Scientist facility. Of course. You know, like we need to make sure we give our 60 people jobs, you know, like they should be working for their money. It's, I mean, they're not getting a lot because there's no.
No, sorry, I have to say that it starts to seem a lot of trouble, a lot of work for just 16 people.
It's a lot of work. And, but it's fun and everybody's like super dedicated. And then we have a meat scientist. Yeah. Meat scientist used to be on the top of Antep. Again, but since we really, I mean, we're not trying to create all these Viking meats with 16% of ABV and having some forest fruits added to them. We just want to make beer drinking fun again. Like, you know, like when I walk to a craft beer bar, I can see bearded dudes looking like you, looking like me. You know, we're wearing our band T-shirts and whatever, and you know, like everybody's like smelling their, you know, like freshest New England IPA, like Idaho 7, yeah. You know, and everybody's having the straight face, and you know, yeah. I mean, Ricardo, like you know, like we're basically the same age, so you know, I believe we started drinking craft beer. You know, many moons ago. So this is not our first year here. And, you know, I remember when I started, it was all about the smiles and the fun and, you know, just like...
Yeah,
like,
that's it. That's right.
Like, you are, like being happy. Yeah.
100% sure. And that's why the craft beer festivals are so good, because people, they seem to forget that they are actually drinking craft beer. They have to rate it on Untappd and everything else, and they have to smell it. They have to look. No, in... After 10 minutes, you forget about everything. You just want to be with people, just trying beers and be happy.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Because the first few beers, you're like, HBC 620. Wow. You know, like, the oakiness is really coming through. But yeah, like, you know, beer drinking, we should be fun. And Meat Scientist is all about having fun. Like, one of our most famous series is the O series, where we try to create Sour Patch candies, like gummy candies. Sour candies, like from the chat. Do you know the gummy bears?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So
the ones that are sour outside and sweet inside,
or something like that. Yes, like, you know, like Haribo gummy candies.
Yeah.
So we have this series, and we had cherry-o and apple-o and colo and cherry colo, peach-o. Right now we have pineapple-o, and it's, I mean, you can say that, hey, Martin, that's not a beer, because, you know, there are no hops and whatever. And you can say, hey, Martin, it's not a traditional meat, because you'll be right, because it's sweet and sour and fun. But yeah, I can guarantee it will make you smile. It will make you happy. I mean, I don't care if you give it, you know, 225 on Untappd, because the thing is that I see that you've been smiling while you've been drinking.
That's right.
So, like... Meat Scientist, it used to be a bit higher on that. Right now it went down because we've been creating some really experimental stuff. We've recently done a carrot cake meat, and the color is amazing. It's wonderful. I believe I saved one last cake for Caminha. But if not, I will bring it in cans, and the color is just like out of...
Wait for me, because I'm only coming on the... On Saturday, I guess. I will not be there on the first day, but please save some for me.
We'll be there by Saturday.
Usually.
you know, Caminha. Well, yeah. So we have meat scientists. Then we have, you know, like for everything else, we have mad scientists. It's a lot of work to think about all the structure, even for us. But I believe it's giving our audience a bit of you know, a bit of more fun,
But Martin,
diversity.
let's be a bit more serious now. Is that a profitable side of the business, or you are just doing that for?
You know, you will hear many big things, I will say, but I want to make sure, you know, people get this right. We're not goddamn hippies.
Of course, of course. That's a
So
business you're running.
Mad Scientist is a profit-oriented company. It's a profit-oriented company because I want to make sure we can afford the quality ingredients. You know, honey is not cheap, or the alternative fermentation facility, Medex's fruits, you know, organically, locally grown fruits. We're basically selecting, you know, hand by hand, the pieces that are a bit rotten. I
Ah,
mean,
that's nice. That's nice.
we will just eat, you know, the piece that is not looking good, and we'll just have the perfect fruits, you know,
Ah,
like
perfect.
in the advertisement. So Mad Scientist is a profit-oriented company because we need to be able to afford the quality ingredients. We
Yeah.
need to afford all the equipment, you know, because, you know, you don't want to drink a New England IPA that is oxidized. You don't want
Yeah, of
to drink
course.
a mead that is exploding. You want to just drink fun stuff. So quality ingredients, quality improvements, and quality equipment. And the most important, we need to pay our people right. We need to treat our people right. So, you know, if you see me, you know, I'm always wearing some of my old band t-shirts. You know, I have one pairs of jeans, I have one shoes. It's not really about the money. So when we're done with these three, it's all good. We're all good. But if we were all about the money, we would be making Mango Bay and liquid cocaine for the supermarket. Great beers, don't get this wrong. But
Like I follow you. I understand what you mean, right? Of course, sure.
Like last December, it was the last week of the year where everybody was working, and it like before Christmas, it was just a small it was a 4 day long week, and I was just reading Hungarian breweries Facebook from the countryside, and they were saying like, wow guys, what a year. Next to our Cool Range beers, we dropped four new beers for you guys. And I remember sitting in front of my laptop and thinking that, wow, this is the last week. And in the last week where nobody's premiering new beers, we premiered four different new beers ourselves
Well,
because we do a
yeah.
crazy amount of new stuff. And just think about it. Like the graphic designer, spending time with the recipe, spending time with the ingredients, ordering the different labels, communicating with our business partners, communicating with our customers. So it's a lot of extra work and then lots of extra effort. And let me tell you, like if it was real money in this, all the breweries would be, you know, creating four or five new beers a week. But there's a thing why breweries are slowing down, and I understand. It's just, you know, we're an experimental brewery, and if I do a pale ale, you know, like a super balanced pale ale, you will tell me like, hey Martin, you know, I like you a lot because, you know, you're the guy who speaks a lot and drinks a lot, but there's nothing experimental, there's nothing mad in the pale ale. You know, you want more from us than a Helles. You want more from us than an IPA. You know, we do wonderful Helles and we do wonderful IPA, but you want the barrel aged alternative fermentation mead with ginger and its spices, and you will say that yes, like this is the stuff I'm expecting from you. This is the mad stuff, and then we'll be happy to give it to you. But yeah, it's if you ask it, like if it's wise in a business-wise way, I will say it's not.
Okay. Martin, let's make a brief pause. I want to thank our sponsors, which I hope to get by the time this goes out. While I get another beer for me.
Well, I don't have a sponsor yet, but I kindly ask you to subscribe to the channel. As I said before, I will probably have some more international guests on this podcast, so regardless if you speak Portuguese or English, there will always be an episode for you. Thank you.
Perfect. So we're back now. Before we go to my next topic, what are you drinking?
I could. So normally during the weekdays, we don't drink, especially during the festival season. It's really
okay,
hard.
Okay, that's nice. That's clever.
It's really hard because we love drinking, but I want to, you know, I want to be there in Caminha, not just 4 times, but in, you know, 10 times, if it's possible. And for this, you know, you need to be really wise with your beer game. It's really hard because we love beer. You know, we started to drink beer and we started to work with craft beer because we like it. I mean, you know, I will just go to the beach. I will just, you know, grab a super bock. I will just kill the super bock and I will do it for, you know, like in an hour for 6 times. And then I will just go back to the store and grab another 6-pack, you know. So, you know, if there's no treehouse in sight, to me, it's not a problem. I'm just fine with the super bock. But I got just too excited for our new release with the Folkinger Brew,
okay,
from the Netherlands, and it's a new IPA with fruit.
Okay, that's nice.
With guava and pineapples, and it's 8.3%. It's just amazing. So it's a.
It's a New England IPA or a double New England IPA?
It's a double New England IPA. Well, yeah. I mean, depends on who you ask. I would say, yeah, it's a double New England IPA, but we just wrote New England IPA. It's a fruited beer, and the transition from the bitterness of the hops,
okay,
going to this fruitiness is just super smooth and super amazing. And this is just a fun beer, and I just really wanted to try this finally.
Okay, so you take the drinking issue seriously?
Of course, you know. So when I go to a beer festival, I need to provide the best version of myself. That's why people come
to visit you, of course,
to party with us. And you know, and if I'm having a major hangover, if I look like shit, I cannot give them this experience. And you know, in our business, we need to be like, you know, like tipsy, like having fun, but still always business wise, because you can never know that, you know, like 2 a.m. in at the third day of the festival, like which distributor or collab partner you will end up having a conversation with. And you know, I don't want to be the guy at the festival, you know, I'm saying like, no, sorry, you know, I cannot drink, you know, I don't want to drink too much. But if I feel tired, if I don't want to drink, if I don't want to go, I will not go to the festival.
Okay, that's interesting. But, so you prefer not to go instead of going and don't feel like on your A game?
Yeah, exactly. But that's the reason why we don't drink back here at home, because I want to do all the festivals, because again, like as I told you, I'm not really interested in the supermarket deals.
Yeah.
I'm interested in meeting the people and talking to the people and having all these interactions. Beer is such a social thing.
Yeah, it is.
So
right.
Why do you want to push it on the shelf or shop? Let's like move the kegs, the taps, the cans, the bottles. Yeah. Let's move it to the bar and with the people, and let's just talk about it and let's just have fun.
But don't you feel like having some beers in the supermarket shelf will probably help you spread the word?
Of course it helps. And I'm not saying we're not there. I'm saying it's not our focus.
Yeah.
Because you will see our beers on the supermarket. And then if you like it, you know, you will maybe come and party with us at our tap room.
Yeah, that's it. That's a reason.
Or at our downtown bistro. And then, you know, So there's the there's the second step. Like, okay, I like this brewery, so I will follow them on social media. I will start hanging out with them at their music festival, at whatever, and then maybe you will visit Budapest Beer Week or some Hungarian festivals, and you will say like, oh wow, this is great. So then maybe you will just start to go to festivals,
That's
MBC,
it. That's it.
PCBW, and yeah. So it's all about the social aspect. So I'm not saying that that we don't do it. I'm just saying that it's not a part of our main focus. If it was, I mean, it was a it would be an easy life, but like maybe life is not easy. Maybe
Yeah,
life
that's the thing.
shouldn't be easy, and maybe life should be full of adventures
Yeah,
and
obstacles,
exactly.
challenges.
Exactly. I'm not saying we always take, the hardest road. That would be stupid. I'm just saying that we are doing our very best to live life to the fullest.
Yeah, to make things that are worth it.
Exactly. So you will see. I mean, we all know so many breweries, and some of the breweries, they just talk the talk but don't walk the walk. When you meet us, when you see us, you will feel and you will know that we also walk the walk. Like this is rock and roll. This is craft beer. I believe craft beer is becoming too corporate, and craft beer should be adventurous and dangerous.
But you
And
think that will come to a time that most craft beer brands will be more corporate, more business? I know that Mad Scientist is business oriented, of profit oriented, okay? But do you feel like you may lose your identity in the future?
No. That's many people ask what is my role at Mad Scientist? So I'm managing. So let's say I'm the head of the sales. And I'm head of the marketing, and I'm involved in product development, and I'm involved in the corporate identity and HR. So basically, I'm trying to make sure that the guys who work in the production, they don't need to worry about anything else. Just, just like
make
taking,
beer.
Exactly, like making the finest beer, quality of beer. So of course, most of the people who know me, they know me from social media, from the videos. I'm the guy at the festival, like
sure.
And I love to do it. So that's like I'm just doing myself, but I'm more proud of
you're
my,
not faking it. You are being true.
Yeah, but I'm more proud of my job as being the business development manager of Mad Scientist, like being the business wise guy. I'm just trying to make sure we're keeping we're doing an honest business, and we have as much fun as possible, and we spend our time in a valuable way.
That's good. And talking about fun, sorry to interrupt you because I don't want to miss this fun train. Caminha, how did you end up with Caminha?
I have no idea.
Okay,
idea.
That's good.
So the first
that's
time,
unexpected. I was not expecting that, but that's
first time I was there with Vivian, my wife, 2018. I felt intimidated. Like, how does a guy, a Central Eastern European guy like me, end up at a wonderful place at a wonderful festival like this?
But you were invited the first time.
We've been
18.
Invited, of course.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
But
So
like
it came out from nothing? They just invited you and that's it?
Exactly. We used to have a distributor, Mameda, there. He quit the business in the end of 2018. So we got invited through him.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
But first year, I felt like an impostor. I felt like a cheater. There have been all those wonderful breweries there, like 18th Street from the USA or Mikeller, and we made so many friends in 2018 that we still have those friends. you know, talking, I don't know, the mean sardine guys and Lupum, you know, Antonio and Doris Korvos, and you know, the list goes on. So in 2019 we got back there with a bit more confidence, and 2022 it was already a fun ride. But yeah, for us Caminha is the most special festival, because that was my first big festival.
How is Caminha compared to other festivals you go to in Europe?
It's so I mean I've seen beer festivals as a visitor, and I've made Budapest Beer Week with two of my really good friends and partners, Peter and Tibor, in 2018. So I've seen festivals from the inside, I've seen from the outside.
Okay.
But Caminha was my first big festival with Mad Scientist, and we got lost by the love of the Portuguese people.
Oh, that's nice.
And the scene, and it's just really giving me thrills. And you know, like everybody, I mean, I believe that's the reason why we keep going back there to relive this experience and to hang out with our friends. Portugal will never be, you know, a real market for us, sending beers for such a high distance when you guys have amazing breweries over there. It doesn't make sense. But we want to be there.
Okay.
Growing up in Budapest, in Central Eastern Europe, but it's culturally it's Eastern Europe. You like most of my childhood, I had my friends and teachers and relatives, you know, like telling me that you know, don't dream too big, don't have your expectations too high, don't try to reach things that you know out of reach, and I only realized this in my 30s that everything is possible, and we can be a nice brewery from Budapest. People can appreciate in Portugal, and we can create value with our beers, and we can make real friends over there as well. So,
is that your big dream, to make real friends all over the world?
No.
Is that
no,
dreaming big?
No, I have enough friends. You know, my wife is always laughing at me, like how do I do this? How do I get on well with people when like overall I have a really bad image or expectation about people, like how little I think about society and other people. And I tell her that that's the reason why I can't keep, you know, all the good people really close to me, because I don't really like people.
That's why you like extreme music?
No, that's why. That's another. I have a theory on extreme music as well. But that's the thing, like, because I don't really like people generally, that's why I can keep so many great people really close to me, because I always expect the worst, and I always hope for the best. And when I meet people, during these beer festivals, and especially in Caminha, where we made an extreme amount of friends, it's you know, Octavio always says it's, you know, it's family. And if you,
yeah.
Octavio, if some of the listeners don't know, Octavio is the organizer for so many great
yeah,
beer
yeah.
festivals,
yeah.
Portugal. But I believe everybody knows Octavio in the community.
For sure.
And you know, like if you hear somebody talking about family and stuff, you know, you'll think about some Fast and Furious memes of Vin Diesel, you know, saying bullshit. But when you know Octavio, and when you're part of this community, you understand that he really means this, and we're really just a family over there. And yeah. So my dream, my dream is not not to make friends all over the world. I just make, you know, we just find each other with all the right people, and we keep when and we just hang out and keep things real together. And that's basically it, because you want to surround yourself with the right people. This industry will eat you up. We'll choke you and we'll spit you out. But if you focus on all the right people who surround you, you know, it's all good in the end. And we want to make sure we focus on the right people.
That's it. That's very wise. And Kaminge is the right example to express how a family can be built around something that we all share, which is craft beer. And that's one of the things that I fell in love with when I came to this market first time. And I felt that people really like to be in this market. And many of those people, they are not in the market as present as they would like to be, because honestly, it's not very easy to make a living out of craft beer. And so, yeah, I understand you, I feel you, and I'm here for you every time you need my help. Regarding Kaminge, would you like to leave some message, a call to action, come, something like that? We are expecting you. Do you have an extra special beer that you will present to the people in Kaminge?
Of course, you know, I've been saving kegs for Kaminge since March.
Oh, that's nice.
Of course, not New England IPAs, but but I have a really clear vision of what I want to bring and how I want to present those beers. And basically, so, you know, like the Kaminge visitors, they are just stoked about the power over there, but they are not really craft beer geeks. So I believe, like, most of the breweries, they just want to show other breweries, you know, like what they have been working on. And it's just, you know, like all the time, like, hey man, I just put this new keg up. You need to try our double fruited Berliner Weisse with tonka beans. And then some other people will come and, yeah, you need to try our bourbon barrel aged imperial stout because we added some blackcurrant in actually the barrel. And so, you know, the list goes on. And I mean, you know, when there are some people you meet, you know, you crave to meet, and then you meet them for a long time, and after an hour, you have nothing to say to them, because this is how people work, and this is how life works. You know, sometimes you want to keep people close to you, but it's not happening. But in Kaminge, even after 4 days, we have so many things to say to each other.
That's so nice.
So, I mean, again, if some of the listeners have no idea about the Art Beer Fest, Kaminge Festival, they can think that you know, we're just drunk people talking about bullshit. But if you've been there in Kaminge, I mean, you will actually realize that this is not BS. This is what's been going
on
there.
Yeah, that's true. And as I said before, it was one of the reasons that I fell in love with this market, was because I felt the love in Kaminge, which was, I think, my third festival when I started. Of course, Aveiro, where I'm standing, where I'm based, first one, then Porto, of course.
Yes.
Porto is a very big festival, probably the best, the biggest one in Portugal.
All the Hungarian breweries, just don't forget where you're.
Oh, yeah, well, sure.
All the Hungarian breweries, they've been asking Horizon, great people, Reketizel is crazy, or Bebop Fermentory. So all these people have been asking, like, Martin, like, we've been called to Porto. Like, should we go? You know, the Portuguese, the Portuguese market. And I told them, like, it's a no-brainer. Like, Porto is your place. Like Porto, big festival, nice turnover, and so on. And so they asked
me,
like,
very nice turnover.
And they asked me, like, but Martin, like, if you're saying such nice things about the Porto Beer Fest, and I love Porto, you know, like, Porto, we always spend time in Porto. But you know, like, they asked me, like, Martin, why don't you come to Porto then? And I told them that because Kaminge is my festival. You guys can, you know, make
you
money.
You go there. You go and make money.
You make money. You know, I go to Kaminge, I make friends. But yeah, I interrupted you, so please,
No,
please
that's it.
continue.
No, you did not interrupt me. You complimented what I was saying because that's true. That's exactly true. That's how I feel. That's how I'd be saying to people, Porto is where you make money. Sure. It's also a very nice feeling. But when you go to Caminha, everything else just becomes secondary. And that's true.
Exactly,
And that's
exactly.
true. The feeling in the air, even the smell, even everything is the food, the restaurants, the people. And you find all kinds of people in Caminha, not just the
Yes.
beer geeks, not just the beer fan,
No, no,
all
no.
kinds of families, entire families, from grandsons to grandparents. It's of course, if you go there on a Friday night, Saturday night, you might feel a bit overwhelmed because there's a lot of people. But if you go on during the afternoon, you can see how families are just gathering there and drinking beer, and that's a wonderful feeling. Making
Yeah,
friends, that's perfect.
and the sun is shining, and Portugal is just Portugal. I mean, again, for somebody like me who grew up in Eastern Europe, and I've seen, the Soviet soldiers leaving the country in the 1989 and whatever. So, for somebody like me, just being able to travel to these places, thanks to the power of beer, I can, I still cannot put my finger on this, and there's not a day when I don't appreciate this wonderful life we live. And we've been talking about money a lot, because money is important for a
Of
certain
course,
level.
we need it.
I mean, I used to have a proper job, working in the office, watching the big monitor and small numbers. I used to wear a shirt, and I never want to go back there, and I will never go back there
But you need to
because,
make money in order not to go back.
oh no, of course, you need to make sure you have your ends meet. I'm just saying that we're so rich in these experiences.
Yeah, that's true.
That once you got hooked up on this, you will stop checking your bank account, and it's a simple life, but it's an easy life. If
Are
you,
you happy, Martin,
of
today?
course, I wake up and I think I have the best job in the world. Like how I mean how. This is where I never dreamed about being at, and it's, I mean, don't get this wrong. It's a struggle, always a
Of course.
struggle, because you need to make sure you keep making the wise decisions, because if if you're enjoying all these fine beers, and if you're partying 7 days a week, then getting up 7 or 8 a.m. in the morning, you will not be able to make good decisions. And if you keep making bad decisions, the company, the business you are responsible for, it will start to go down, and you cannot afford that. So
So
it's
the
a
secret is to find a balance between everything.
I'm not really the best person to say, what the secret is. The secret is that you should start, you should do the thing that fits you. I'm just saying that without the sadness, you cannot find happiness. And we think, especially, with Vivian, my wife, we live together, we work together, we go to the festivals together. So we wake up talking about beer, and we go to bed talking about beer. And it was always like that, because we always been fans of beer and craft beer. And we talk about happiness and success and decisions a lot, here at home, and also in the brewery, because this is what defines us, working the extra mile. And
That's
at
it.
Mad Scientist, we don't just talk about beer all the time, but we talk about like who we are, what do we stand for, where we are at in our lives as private persons, as a team, as professionals, And we try to find all these answers. And this is really motivating. Like,
That's great.
I wake up during the weekend, you know, the few weekends where I'm at home. And I love being here at home. You know, I have my 7 guitars and my cat here, and yeah, you know, it's so good. But you know, I think like what I want to do the best today, and honestly, the answer is I want to work. I want to, you know, keep pushing the brand, keep thinking about new beers or new labels or new events. Or just to go to the brewery and just grill some vegetables and some meat with the guys, you know, like so, like that's really hard when you know when your hobby becomes your life, because then there are no boundaries anymore. You just and then you know nothing lasts forever. So I cannot say that you know I will be here in 20 years, but that doesn't matter, because over the years where I'm doing this, where I'm here, I just want to make sure I'm fully doing this. You know, I'm fully committing myself for this.
I was going to ask you for a final message, but I think you've gave it already. I think this is it. I think this is the perfect way to finish our conversation, Martin. Thank you very much. It was my huge, huge pleasure to have this conversation with you. I've met you some years ago, but we never really had a chance to have a serious or a real conversation. So I thank you very much from the bottom of my heart for accepting my invitation. It was my pleasure to have you as my first foreign interview. And
I hope this will not be the last. I encourage.
No, it won't. It won't. It won't. I'm sure it won't. Because even though I may just have one or two listeners, I don't care, because I do this because I love it, and I will continue to do it. And I think one listener each time, it's a win. It's a win, and we'll step by step, we'll get there. Martin, let me say goodbye to you. Thank you very much once again. We'll see you. We'll see each other soon in about 1.5 months now, 6 weeks,
exactly.
Something like
exactly.
That. Now a message to whoever is listening to us. Come to Caminha, meet Martin in person. He's not just a great guy on the microphone, he's also a great guy in person. And if you see him standing on the booth on top of the tables, don't mind. It's just a way of calling people to come and meet Mad Scientist. You want to leave one last sentence, Martin?
No,
that's it.
I've already spoke enough. And,
perfect. Thank you, my friend.
And I really appreciate the conversation. And I hope you will do more of these podcasts.
I will.
In English, because I'm learning a bit of Portuguese, just to make sure, you know, I can find my way around Caminha, and I would love to hear more stuff that I can fully understand.
So maybe one day we'll do a second conversation in Portuguese.
Let's see. let's see.
Martin, thank you very much. One virtual toast. Virtual. Thank you very much. See you soon, Martin. Thank you. Thank you very
See
much.
You soon.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, please subscribe and leave your review. This would mean the world to me. Also, kindly share this episode with a couple of friends or family that you think could like it as well. Thank you so much. As for you, my Portuguese-speaking friend, mais uma vez obrigado. E já sabes, bebe menos, bebe melhor. Um grande abraço e até ao próximo episódio do podcast Cerveja Artesanal com Ricardo Sousa.